Hello and welcome to the Kevin Doran podcast. Today is another segment of Charity Begins Here, where I aim to bring the inspiring stories of charities that you may not have heard of to a wider audience. In this episode, I chat with the head of fundraising, Kia, from the Pepper Foundation, an incredible charity dedicated to supporting children and families facing serious illness. We'll hear how Pepper started from a deeply personal place and how their work brings hope and joy and vital care to so many. After you've listened, I would love to get a review. This segment is still very much in development, so I would really appreciate any feedback that you have to give. You can check out more podcast episodes and also my work as a charity auctioneer by going to thecharityauctioneer.uk. Here's the interview and enjoy. Kia, thank you so much for joining me on the Kevin Doran podcast. How are you doing? How's your day been?
Yeah, good. Thank you for having me. Normal day, normal start to the day.
Tell me about Pepper. Tell me about yourself, about Pepper. What's the story?
I am the head of fundraising and service delivery for the Pepper Foundation. And the Pepper Foundation has been around for over 30 years. We are a children's hospice at home charity based in Hertfordshire and Buckinghamshire. And we provide children's nursing and play within the home for children that suffer with life-limiting and life-threatening conditions. Something that's really important, to be honest, because obviously when a child is going through something like that, they have to spend a lot of the time in hospital. A lot of people don't understand what impact that has on a family, because then there might be other siblings involved that are at home. The parents are then not able to be there for the siblings as well. It's not nice for the children to not be in the comfort of their own home. So we believe that all families and children that are going through that situation deserve a choice to be at home.
I got it. And can you tell us a bit more about the impact, what that can have on a family, Kia?
Well, it has a huge impact. If you think about a family that, you know, has just had a baby, if it's come out right at the very beginning, some families that we support, they don't know that there are any issues, or issues are kind of newly founded further in, like children that may be suffering with leukemia. But if you think about wanting to bring a baby home into a family and you know, finding out that actually they've got a life-limiting or life-threatening condition, you have this big dream, you know, when you plan to have a family, that you're going to bring the baby home and everything's going to be okay. And the worst thing you've got to think about is being up at night feeding the baby. Mm-hmm. And then to find out something like that, your whole world just literally crushes. And it's really, really a sad time for these families trying to navigate through that situation. What you've also got to remember as well is that some of them may be working families that then can no longer work because the level of care that their children need is something, you know, quite extreme. So with the children and families, usually if there is no hospice care at home option, when there are issues that arise that could be prevented or that could be dealt with at home, they would have to go into hospital. And taking it from me, who's seen my sister have to go into hospital with my nephew quite often, it does have a huge impact on the rest of the family as well. So these families, you know, struggle through those situations when quite simply we could just provide nursing care at home. And that nursing care at home could be literally the difference between them spending weeks in hospital without the other children needing to be cared for by different people, put in different routines, or them all staying together, being able to make memories as a family at home. And our new founded Pepper Play service as well, which we've just taken in-house, is just phenomenal, because a lot of these children don't have joy. Mm. So they spend their days in bed. A lot of the ones that are socially isolated or immobile, they will spend their days in bed and not really seeing anybody, not really being able to engage in joyful situations. And then our play specialist comes along and brings them activities to do. And actually they're able to create drawings and artwork and these things that they wouldn't be able to do without the help of somebody else. And then they're also keepsakes for their families. So they're kept in a scrapbook so that, you know, if the time does come where they do pass away, their families have got artwork from them that they would never have had before. So it's just a really beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful cause, and I'm so proud to be part of it.
That's beautiful. Who came up with the idea with like creating the artwork and put it in a scrapbook? That's a gorgeous idea.
Yeah, it's lovely. So we the play specialist that we employed now directly through Pepper, we used to fund her work, and she had worked with hospitals before, but she'd worked with the hospice that we were funding before for quite a large amount of time, and it was all part of the model that she had created there. And when the children's service closed with the hospice that we were funding before, we knew that that model needed to continue. So yeah, we wanted to take that on and pioneer it, and just, you know, go with it and take all the things that were good about it and keep them and keep moving them forward so that the families didn't lose that service.
Great. And how did Pepper start, Kia?
Pepper started with so one of the founders, Robert Brakewell, who is now our chairman. He is an amazing man. His wife was unfortunately receiving hospice care at home, his late wife. And when she passed away, they decided that I think she was also involved in this decision as well, but they wanted to basically do something to give back. And then they decided that they would put on the Pepper Show, which is still around now. So the Pepper Show is every October, and it's in Tring, and it's a 5-day show, 6 performances over 5 days. The guys work extremely hard to put it together, and it's done by a huge amount of volunteers, and the sound that comes out of these people is just phenomenal. And it's a really professional and slick show that is put together every single year. And it was born through the Pepper Show. So they put on this amazing show, and it raised lots of money. I can't remember the exact figure. And then they ended up approaching the hospice that we were funding before. So we'd been funding that children's service with the hospice for over 30 years. And they basically said, if we fund a nurse, like, will you guys take this on for children's services? Because there wasn't any children's services at home back then. And they agreed. And that's where Pepper was born. So all the funds that used to be raised was solely through the Pepper Show. And then, wow. Yeah, so then we moved into actually fundraising a while after. And now we have a team of 3.
And your mission emphasises 24/7 children's hospital at home care. Can you share a case or a moment that best illustrates the difference that this round-the-clock service has made for a family?
Well, quite simply, I think that, you know, if a family needs to go into hospital to have, you know, some simple medical intervention that they wouldn't be able to do themselves, having a nurse being able to come to their home to do that just makes a huge difference. It means that they don't have to move their child, especially the ones that are, you know, not as mobile as others. It makes a huge difference to most of the children. I don't think I can really pinpoint one scenario, if I'm honest.
Or is there like any one kind of family or child, which I know obviously you can't share any names, GDPR, but is there any kind of one family or child that really stands out for you over the years amongst the others?
One family that has personally stood out for me is a mother who, and she had 2 sons. She has 2 sons. Mm-hmm. One of those sons is still with her. Mm-hmm. Both of the sons suffer with the exact same condition. So she's been supporting both of her sons. One of them passed when he was 11 or 12, I believe. And the other one is around that age now. But I know personally that the play that they receive and the support at home that they receive means so much to them as a family, because she's by herself. So she obviously is doing all the legwork herself. So every single time she has that extra support that comes in, the nurse in, that means more than anything to her, because it means that actually she can just breathe for a minute as well. Because if you can imagine having to care for your child 24/7 and not having any breaks, You know, even dealing with a child that doesn't have any additional needs 24/7 without having any breaks is difficult. But this child specifically is immobile and has to use wheelchairs and hoists. So yeah, for her, that support is priceless.
That was a really nice example, Kia. Any other examples that come to mind?
We do have another little girl that we support who is just so bright. And every time we see her, she also comes to the family day events that we hold as well. And every time we see her, she is just absolutely glowing. She'll come up to you. She'll want to take your camera. She'll want to take pictures. And actually for Christmas, me and one of the colleagues brought her a camera that prints out pictures because she just absolutely loves stealing your phone or stealing your camera and taking pictures of herself. But yeah, she's just absolutely amazing. And her mum spoke to us a little while ago and basically said that without the family days and without the support that we give her, that she wouldn't actually be able to go and, you know, take part in these social things because the family's actually too worried to have her go to like a normal play area just in case something happens. So they really like the reassurance to have, you know, Peppa holding these days and having us with them just to know that there's people there as well for them in case, you know, anything arises. And just to be able to meet the families as well, she just mentioned, was something that's so precious. So obviously without the family days that we provide, a lot of these families wouldn't be able to meet up with each other. So they wouldn't be able to connect and talk about things that they're going through because it's a very lonely circumstance to be in sometimes. And sometimes you do feel like you're the only person in the world that's going through it. Because you're isolated as a parent as well. So then being able to talk to each other is just such a phenomenal thing. Transport as well, we provide for some families that can't usually get transport. And there was a family that had two children, both in electrical wheelchairs, and we paid for them to get to Whipsnade Zoo. We took them to Whipsnade Zoo, and we paid for their transport, and it was a specialised vehicle. And they basically said that they wouldn't have been able to get there, wouldn't have been able to have a day out. I think they said they hadn't had a day out together as a family, and the child was 18. Haven't been able to have a day out as a family ever before because they just couldn't afford the transport costs to get anywhere.
Wow. I really loved what you said, just taking a step back a second, about the community aspect, because I can imagine being a parent going through that would be incredibly lonely. Like, you know, in my personal circles, obviously the Charity Auctioneer circle is very, very different, but in my personal circles, I don't think I've ever met actually any parents going through it. So it's just so valuable. It's like gold dust what you guys are creating for the parents.
Yeah, because they, a lot of the time, parents are scared to take their children that are living with these conditions to play areas with, you know, children that don't have these conditions because they will be stared at or they will be afraid that something might happen, a seizure, you know, something might happen in front of other children. It might cause a stir. It might be traumatic for other children. It's difficult for these families to go out without having the reassurance that actually there's going to be a whole bunch of other people that are all going through the same thing and you're not judged and we're all here together.
Well, what's it like for you, Kia, knowing that you make such a big difference in the lives of these families and children, like personally, like working for Peppa? What's it like for you?
I'm very proud.
Yeah, I can see it, yeah.
I love this job.
Yeah.
I am very proud. And you know what? You know, like in every single job, things get stressful, especially, you know, working in the role that I'm working in. It's busy. It is busy. And sometimes it does get really stressful. And I have to remind myself at that time, and it's such a perfect thing to remind myself at that time when I feel quite stressed, actually, you should feel so happy that you're able to do all of this work and that you're making a big difference to these families that need it the most. So yeah, I feel really proud and I shout about it from rooftops every time I get the chance.
So you should. And I'm just kind of wondering, maybe a more generic question just for a second about hospices. Why do you think there is like a need for charities like yourself, charities like Pepper, you know, what is missing from what the government is providing, which creates that need for charities like Pepper?
Yeah, there isn't enough.
There
is not enough from the NHS, unfortunately. And, you know, the way that the NHS would deal with scenarios like this is obviously there is hospitals where the children can go. But having a hospice or having hospice care at home is a more personable thing at a time when you need privacy. You know, at a time when your whole world is shaken up, I think the last thing you want to do is be in a hospital bed around wards with other people in, and it not being friendly. You know, there's like a difference between if you walk into an actual hospice, I mean, obviously we are hospice at home, but if you walk into an actual hospice, people expect it to be quite gruesome or depressing, but it's not. It's really beautiful and uplifting. And that is what people need for their last days, their last weeks, is to be in comfort, whether that's in their home or whether it's in a hospice. And some people choose that hospitals are the right place for them. But I think the important thing, Kevin, is choice. And there isn't choice with the NHS. And there's just not enough resources with the NHS, unfortunately. So that's where charities have to step in. There's always an argument of whether they should have to. But the fact of it is that if they don't, who does?
That's a really good
very point. Much pro-choice around this scenario, especially because I couldn't even imagine going through it myself. But I know that if I did, I would want to choose whether I can cuddle my baby in bed every single day in their own bed, or whether I would have to spend time around machines bleeping in a hospital.
Yeah, for sure. It's an amazing choice. It's an amazing choice that you provide. It's it's incredible. And what challenges does Pepper face in 2025? Obviously, you know, the cost of living, I don't think anything's getting better anytime soon. Yeah, what's it like for a non-profit like Pepper operating now?
Well, we are a tiny charity with big ideas. So I think that one of the bigger challenges we face is how small we are. We are obviously a small charity that doesn't have, you know, as big of a reach as, you know, cancer research or any of the other big charities that are well known. And that is one of the biggest challenges that we have, because we're just trying to spread the word and let people know about the work that we're doing. The amazing thing about small charities is the fact that we have usually lower overheads. We definitely do. We don't have, you know, office space that we specifically pay for. We don't have a CEO. We literally get by with our little team, and it's amazing. And we all work so hard together. But that is also a challenge within itself, because we are such a small team and we're all doing so much. So it's hard to get the name out there with such a small team. And it's hard with being a small charity for people to have that awareness of who we are and what we do. But when they do learn about what we do, they can see, obviously, it is a really amazing cause and very much needed. But yeah, that's probably our biggest challenge. And with the cost of living, I always say there's no point of being scared, because people will still give, because they do, because humans are beautiful. And I know with me, I'm a sucker for those. You know, when you see those Facebook posts where people are like, hi, can anybody help? Is there a food bank around? I've got no money to feed my children this week. I'm like, hey, send me your bank account details.
Yeah, I can relate.
I'll send you money. So I'll be down to like my last £30. I'm still sending this person 20 of it. The fact of it is that, yeah, okay, cost of living crisis is bad, but people that can afford to give will. And it's just reaching the right people and reaching their hearts. So I wouldn't say that that's necessarily a challenge. Yes, it brings a little bit more difficulty than usual, but I still have faith in humanity.
Got it. Wow. That's inspiring. You're inspiring. You're an inspiring woman, Kia. I'm really moved by you. It's really nice. And I've been lucky enough to meet some of your supporters, and some of them are just so passionate about what you guys do. Otherwise, I've got one or two examples. I won't go into them, but I just love to know, Kia, you know, from your perspective, you know, what kind of inspiring things have you seen the supporters do to raise money for Pepper?
Oh my gosh, we've just had somebody who did a huge fundraiser 10 years ago and has just decided on the 10-year anniversary for it to go and do it again. So he's just completed, I think it was 23 days. He's just gone on that, I've forgotten the name of it now, the Great Divide, the bike ride across USA and Canada through the on his own.
Blimey.
Bears out there. And what was it? Not wolves. Was it wolves? So there were scary things in the forest, Kevin. Scary things.
Yes.
And he just went and did it, and he's raised over £7,000 so far. So there's an example of your cost of living.
Wow.
Because when he did it 10 years ago, he raised, I think, 20,000 or 25,000. But he's managed to raise 7,000, which is still amazing, absolutely amazing. And he is just a big adventurer. His name is Richard Brash, if anybody wants to go and check out his adventure. His Instagram handle, I think, is Bonkers Brash. And, he's just done that amazing thing. I've just had an email this morning to say that somebody is about to walk the side of a 1940s aeroplane.
Whoa, like Tom Cruise said in the latest Mission Impossible film. There's a crazy thing where he's on a plane, wing walking, holding on to things. That's quite incredible. And Kia, if someone wants to make a difference, make a donation, become a supporter, donator with Pepper, what do they do?
Head to www.pepper.org.uk. Pepper like this. Very simple. You can have a look on there. If you want to take part in a challenge for us, please do get in contact. All the contact details are on the website. Pepper show tickets are on the website. Golf day tickets are on the website. Everything that we have upcoming is all on there, pepper.org.uk. And even the smallest donation makes the hugest of difference, because obviously our overheads are so low. So it really does make a massive difference.
Kia, thank you so much for spending your time with me on this podcast. I really appreciate it. I know that you're involved with really important work. So yeah, really, really thank you for spending the time with me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kia.
Cheers.